KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. 2 years ago, oil companies spent more than $1 million to defeat an initiative that would have revived Alaska's coastal management program. They're on track to spend even more this election cycle to protect the new tax system they've lobbied for. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports that contributions to a group committed to that goal are already rolling in. Vote no on one registered as a political group in October. Already they've broken the $1 million mark. They've taken in $350,000 from BP, another $350,000 from ConocoPhillips, $250,000 from Repsol, and nearly $100,000 from Pioneer Natural Resources.
It's probably no surprise that the oil producers have stepped up to help advance awareness of that issue.
Willis Lyford works for Precaro Communications. He's the campaign director for Vote No on One. The group is fighting back against an effort to repeal the oil tax law that was passed this spring, which caps the tax rate at 35% per barrel. When Vote No on One went public, their press release described them as a statewide leadership team representing business, organized labor, and community leaders. But their funding base is not so diverse. The Alaska Public Offices Commission requires any donation made to a political group that's more than $500 to be reported. So far, every Vote No on One filing comes from an oil industry group. Trish Baker, a public affairs manager for Repsol, says they're committed to working in the state. Their contribution to Vote No on One shows that, she says. Repsol is only in the exploration phase right now. They acquired their lease on the North Slope in 2011 when the state was under the previous fiscal structure. In the past year, Repsol's become a more vocal supporter of the new tax system.
This is a critical vote for us, and it may make a difference whether we can go forward or not.
Whether it's from Repsol, Conoco, BP, or another oil company, the citizens group that filed the referendum expects the money to keep pouring in. Vic Fisher is a former legislator, a delegate to Alaska's Constitutional Convention, and now one of the lead sponsors of Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway. He says the group knew it was picking an expensive fight even before they started collecting the signatures needed to get on the ballot.
The oil companies are benefiting from the oil tax repeal, probably to the billions of dollars, so I won't be surprised if they invest millions of dollars to try and defeat the referendum.
Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway is not nearly as well-financed as the Vote No group. They've raised about $90,000 this year, mostly from small contributions, and spent a lot of it during the signature-gathering part of their campaign. The most expensive ballot campaign in state history took place in 2008 when supporters and opponents of the Alaska Clean Water Initiative spent more than $10 million on advertising. The Nome Common Council held a regular meeting on Friday afternoon after City Clerk Tom Moran swore in a new police officer, Lance McElroy. There were votes on five ordinances as well as updates on construction and energy projects. Two important decisions about the proposed Richard Foster Museum were approved. The council finalized its agreement with Kowarik to lease 2,750 square feet in the building upon its completion. Kowarik President Melanie Banky was at the meeting and spoke about the importance of the lease.
We look forward to partnering with the city and doing our part to preserve and promote Alaska Native history and culture. Considering that half the population here in Nome is Alaska Native, I think it's exciting that we'll have a base camp to be able to share that rich culture and history with. I also want to acknowledge the staff. Like I said, we look forward to partnering with you and being a good tenant. Merry Christmas.
With the board's vote, the measure went into effect immediately. The council also moved to approve hiring Randy Romanesco to work as a project manager on the building as construction finally gets underway. Utility manager John Handelin reported to the board that the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is tentatively scheduled to fluoridate Nome's water in February. The hope had been to get it done in January, and as of right now, there is no fluoride in Nome's water. Handelin also brought up Howard Trott of Pilgrim Unlimited to provide an end-of-the-year update on the Pilgrim Hot Springs Energy Project, which will resume on-site drilling next season. The hope, Trott said, is that between a suitable energy source at Pilgrim, along with wind turbines, Nome will be able to get its full electricity-generating power supply from renewables. Approval was given to Nome's federal and state funding priorities at the state level. $4.3 million for water and sewer infrastructure leads legislative priorities, followed by $3 million toward the middle dock construction. When it comes to requests for federal money, the council kept its focus on the harbor, with the causeway extension and efforts toward a possible deep draft port topping the list. The council learned about nearly 100 unmarked graves in Nome Cemetery. Back in September, a Fairbanks-based company did a radar analysis of city-owned land just north of the current cemetery. According to City Manager Josie Banky, the results were a bit of a surprise.
Northern Land Use Research sent a crew out here to do some other field work, but they spent a couple days at the cemetery, went through the old Catholic section and also in the new area that's planned for expansion. And based on the report we got this week, looks like there's about 96 graves out there.
The plots identified did not necessarily show human remains, but disturbances to the earth consistent with human burial practices. Many likely lost their markers at some point in time or simply lacked documentation. Banky says knowing where the sites are will help designers going forward as Nome's cemetery expansion advances. Most members of Alaska's Village Public Safety Officer program in the interior say they should be allowed to carry firearms while on duty. The 12 VPSOs who work in the interior wear Alaska State Trooper-style uniforms and are authorized to make arrests, but generally, they're not allowed to carry guns. A proposed regulation change, however, would allow the officers to carry firearms and specify training for those who choose to carry them. The proposed change is open for public comment through January 17. And supporters of an initiative to legalize marijuana in Alaska say they have about 15,000 more signatures than needed to get the issue on the August ballot. Petitioners say they've collected nearly 45,000 signatures, well above the threshold of just more than 31,000 signatures. Organizers plan to present those signatures to the state by January 21st in case some are disqualified. If the state finds more than enough authenticated signatures, the initiative goes before voters on the August primary ballot. The price of gold in New York is down $4.90 an ounce to $1,199.60. An ounce of silver up 5 cents to $19.57. It's unofficially 7 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.